I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist. Welcome to Module 2. Let's talk about astral navigation. Now, navigation is something that sometimes astral travelers take for granted. You can fly in your astral body. You can travel through the ground. You can travel through space. You can do all kinds of things in your astral body. And really, you have the luxury of just getting up and going. You can just go any time of day, anywhere you want to go, be there in an instant. It's very easy. And so oftentimes, astral travelers overlook completely the concept of navigation, the idea of charting a course, knowing where you're going, doing a little bit of planning ahead, making sure you're flying the way you want to fly and not flying backwards, for example, which used to happen to me all the time. And so astral travelers in general tend to overlook many of these things. So I want to cover them right now. I want to make sure that you have a thorough, grounded understanding of astral navigation. First of all, there are a lot of different ways to astral travel. You can float, you can teleport, you can move quickly. There are all sorts of ways. I want to open you up to different ideas that you may not have considered, different ways that different students of mine have astral projected over the years, because what this is going to do is give you some new ideas, some new ways to astral project. It's sort of like having all the powers of mobility that you want, but at the same time overlooking some of the possibilities because you do have the ability to travel in an instant, to just be there when you think about it. Or sometimes we get caught up in the idea that it must be a process because we're psychologically programmed to think that it's got to take time. If we're going from England to Egypt, it's going to take time. We've got to plan it. We've got to travel. It's going to take some time to get there, but it's really not in the astral world if we don't want it to. So those are the two extremes, those people who just travel everywhere instantly and those people who take their time thinking that they have to take a long time to get somewhere. But the truth is that any of us can use any of those techniques at will. We don't have to travel in the blink of an eye, and we don't have to travel slowly. So let's talk about navigation, the wonderful, all-encompassing topic of navigation. First of all, I want to introduce you to the idea that you can allow your thoughts to make you float like a feather through the astral world. In other words, you can float slowly up from your body and just drift like a feather. If you want to, you can imagine yourself rocking back and forth as you float. You have this option. This is a wonderful, relaxing way to travel. You just sort of float around. And if you want, you can just let your thoughts take you wherever you want them to take you in that moment through floating. Floating up out of your body, through the roof, into the sky, perhaps floating down the street, floating to meet some friends in the astral world, floating to go by some sights that you'd love to see, still floating higher, getting a view of all of the land below, your city, your state, your country. That is one way to float, one way to fly, one way to travel, like a feather. I actually tend to enjoy this method, unless I want to go somewhere immediately. I enjoy the floating method, the floating technique, the floating experience. I enjoy everything about it. One of the reasons I enjoy it is that there's no pressure. You're just relaxing as if you're on a raft in a pool. You're just floating around. Nothing's going to hurt you. Everything's going to be okay. But you're just letting your thoughts take you wherever you want to go. Now, in a pool, sometimes when you float around, you'll be moved by a few physical forces. I remember doing this as a kid in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where I was growing up. We had a pool in the backyard. In fact, my stepmother still lives in the same house and has the same pool. And there are jets in the pool designed to circulate the water so that the water can stay clean and the filtration system can take care of it and the chlorine will mix and all the chemicals will mix and balance and so forth. But because there are jets in the pool, three different ones strategically placed to keep the water moving in a counterclockwise fashion, your float in that pool will be affected by these jets. It will also be affected by the wind. So between the jets and the wind, and if you happen to push yourself in a direction or paddle with your hands, between all of these factors, you will float around in the pool. But you're still safe. You're still in the pool. Well, in the astral world, we don't have wind, and we don't have anything that's equivalent to jets in a pool, or fans, or anything like that. What moves you in the astral world would be your thoughts. You think it, and it happens. You want to go somewhere, and you do. Now, just like with the techniques that I told you previously, when I gave you a number of techniques, I want you to realize that these are not mutually exclusive, these navigation techniques. Just like with the other techniques I told you, you can combine them. For example, you can float like a feather, and then you can instantly teleport somewhere. You can combine this navigation technique with the teleportation technique, as I've already taught you. You can float for a while, then you can think, wait a minute, I don't want to float anymore. I want to be somewhere right now, and you can instantly teleport. So as you start your journey, you're not locked into a particular way of traveling. But let's get more into the navigation component of this, because you're floating now. In the feather technique, if you want to call it that, you're floating around. You're at the mercy of your thoughts. You're letting your thoughts take you where they want to take you, and you're letting your mind wander. It's a wonderful way to travel. But what if you want to add some navigation to this? Remember, your thoughts are what guide you. So you're not going to navigate by the winds of the planet Earth or by the ocean or by anything else other than your thoughts. It is important when you're astral projecting to know where you are. Why is that important? Well, the reason is you're not invited everywhere. And if you find yourself somewhere where you're not invited, you know where you're not supposed to be. If you find yourself in one of those places, it's important to leave that place out of respect. Astral projection is never to be used to go anywhere that you shouldn't be. So a challenge can arise if you're just letting yourself float around, especially you end up somewhere and you really don't know where you are and you need to find out. That's where navigation comes in. You are going to notice in the astral world that there are structures. There are what appear to be physical structures in the astral world. I want you to become familiar with these structures. They're not only on the planet Earth, they're also in space. Now, interestingly enough, the astral structures do not need to coincide with the planet Earth. In other words, they can be independent of Earth. And there's not a one-to-one correlation with these astral structures and the structures on the planet Earth. In other words, your house does not necessarily exist in the astral world. Something similar to your house may exist near your house, but it's not your house existing in the astral world. If you see your house or any other three-dimensional object, meaning anything you would experience in your everyday physical life, if you see any of those things while in the astral world, please understand you are seeing physical objects. You are not seeing astral objects. It is perfectly possible for you to see your house, your car, your pillow, everything you own, your whole neighborhood, every building on the planet. It's possible to see them while you are in the astral world. However, it does not mean that they are in the astral world. You are seeing from the astral world the physical world. You are still seeing physical objects while in the astral world. So I want you to understand the distinction. It's not an astral version of your house or an astral version of your car. It's not as if your house and your car have souls, for example, like you do. When you see yourself in the astral world, your astral body, that is, you realize that that is something that exists in the astral world. When you're in your astral body and you look at your physical body, you realize that your physical body does not exist in the astral world. It's something that you're seeing that's physical, and you're seeing it from the astral world. So please understand the distinction. Living things exist in both the physical world and the astral world. They have a physical body and an astral body. Inorganic things, such as houses and cars and buses, do not exist in the astral world. If you see them while you are in the astral world, you are just seeing their physical form. You are seeing into the physical world. This brings me to an important point, which is you can navigate easily if you are able to see the physical world from the astral world. Why? Well, because everything is still there. Your house is there, your car is there, your neighbor's house is there, the buildings you're familiar with are there, the countries you're familiar with are there, the major landmarks of the world that you're familiar with are there. So it makes things very easy. So I want you to practice seeing the physical world when you're in the astral world. This makes things a lot easier, especially since you, as a newcomer to conscious astral projection, if indeed you are, you may not be aware of the astral structures. So, two things I want you to do as homework. One, work on your ability to perceive the physical world while you're in the astral world. while you're astral traveling, focus on your ability to see the physical world. This is going to help tremendously in navigation, and it's going to serve as navigation in general for you. If you can see the moon, and you can see the earth, and you can see stars, and you can see major structures, rivers, so forth, you will know where you are. You may not be used to seeing them from the sky, for example, but you can get used to it easily, and you can always look on a map to see where you are once you get back in your physical body, and you can figure things out very easily. That's the first thing I want you to do for homework. The second thing I want you to do is start paying attention to the astral structures. These structures exist, and they are not going anywhere. They're solid structures in the astral world. So if you see a building that's right near your house, you can use this for your navigation. Now, I want you to get into the habit of triangulating. Triangulating means, in the astral world, something a little simpler than it means in regular navigation. But triangulation in the astral world means finding three things that you are certain of their location. You know they exist in a certain place. Buildings are great, rivers are great, bodies of water are great, but not things such as automobiles or people, because these things tend to move around. So, I want you to get used to using triangulation. If you are floating around in your astral body and suddenly you don't know where you are, and you wish you did because you want to go somewhere in particular, or you want to make sure you're not in a place that you shouldn't be, somebody's house, for example, that you're not invited into, something like that, what I suggest you do is shoot straight up into the atmosphere. Somewhere around 20,000 feet is good. Now, I don't expect you to measure 20,000 feet. I want you to approximate. You're not as high as planes go, and you're not down on the tops of buildings. You're somewhere in between the two. And you're looking at the surface of the Earth. Remember, you're seeing three-dimensional structures that don't actually exist in the astral world, but they are helpful nonetheless to help you orient yourself, help you tell where you are. So when lost, shoot straight up. Take a look. What do you see? Astral vision is tremendous. Astral vision is better than regular vision. With your astral eyes, if you will, you can see much more clearly and with much more detail than in your physical body. You also have the ability to zoom in on objects, to see them in very minute detail from very far away. So use this to your advantage when you're lost. Shoot straight up, look around, find three things that you're certain of their location. Once you do, realize that you're in the middle of those three things. That's where you are. This may not give you an exact street address, but you know where you are. Or if you want an exact street address, just look at a house. Find the number on the house, look at the cross streets, find out where you are. Log this information into your mind. When you get back to your physical body, you can look it up on the internet and find out where you were. Because if you look at a house number and a couple streets, this may not make any sense to you. It may not mean anything to you. You may not know where the corner of Pacific Avenue and Atlantic Street are, even if you know you're at house number 1245. That may not mean anything to you. That may be ambiguous information that's not very helpful. But if you remember it and look it up next time you're in your physical body, then you can find out where you were. And if you want to go back there, all you have to do is think about going back there. So these techniques of navigation are going to help you tremendously. They're going to help you know where you are. And if you know where you are, you're going to be able to get back there more easily. Another way to navigate is by using the familiar sight technique. Now, in the astral world, you don't have access to all the senses. You don't have smell and taste and so forth. You have sight and you have sound. But you also have your sense of feeling. How does something feel to you? Usually this is of an emotional nature. So remember the familiar feeling technique, the emotional feeling, how the place makes you feel? You can log that in to your mind, to your psyche, to your person, to who you are. You can log that in. So let's say, for example, you go somewhere and you really like it there, but you don't know where you are. Even if you shoot up to 20,000 or so feet and look around, you still don't know where you are. You look at a house address, you look it up in your physical body later. It's not really coming up with anything for whatever reason. So all of your other techniques aren't working. Let's just create that scenario. What do you do? Well, while you're there in the place that you want to be, or the place that you want to get back to for whatever reason, I want you to log into yourself. like a navigation system, where you are. With a navigation system, if you go somewhere, let's say you have a navigation system in your car, you go somewhere and you don't know where you are, you can tell the navigation system to remember it, and it logs it in. Next time you want to go there, you just look it up, press a button, and your navigation system will tell you how to get there from anywhere in the world. You have a navigation system built into your soul, and all you have to do is use the familiar sight technique, familiar sound technique, and the familiar feeling technique. If you combine all three of these, it's great, because you have more of a chance of getting back there. And the way you do this is just the way your navigation system would do it. If you arrive somewhere in your car and you have a navigation system and you don't know the address, you can just tell your navigation system to remember it. Press a couple buttons and it's done. Well, if you arrive somewhere in your astral body and you'd like to get back there sometime but you don't know where you are, I want you to start noticing the environment. How do you feel being there? How do you emotionally feel? Log it in. When I say log it in, I just mean allow it to impress itself on you. Allow it to make a firm impression. Stay there a little while. Time is essentially irrelevant in the astral world. You will be spending physical time in the astral world. Physical time will be passing while you're in the astral world. Time can be a little difficult to measure. So if I were to say stay there for 5 minutes, it may be hard to calculate that because you're in the astral world. Stay there for as long as you need to log it in. Just sit with that feeling. Probably only a few minutes are going to pass. That's really all you need, a few minutes of physical time to really take in the environment. Now remember, you're a little limited because you're not in your physical body. A lot of your senses are not available, but you have your astral senses. You can still hear things. You can hear what's going on. Log that in. Just allow it to soak in to your spirit. Allow it to make an impression on you, what you hear. What do you see? Allow that to soak into your spirit. Allow that to make an impression on you. How do you feel being there? Is there a physical sensation? Sometimes in the astral body, we get physical sensations. Sometimes we detect something which can be the equivalent of heat or cold. If you're really tuned into your astral body, you can feel that. But even if not, you can tune into your emotional feelings. How do you feel being there? You probably like it if you're interested in coming back. Or maybe you need to come back and you don't really like it, but it still makes an impression on you of some sort. Log that in, meaning allow it to soak into your mind, to your psyche, to your spirit. Then, after that, just leave. And eventually you can go back to your physical body, or you can go directly back, whatever you choose. But the next time you want to go there, all you have to do when you're preparing for astral projection is use the familiar sight, the familiar sound, and the familiar feeling techniques all combined. As you close your eyes in preparation for astral projection, you think about how you felt there, both physically and emotionally. You think about how everything looked and how everything sounded. This is programming your navigation to take you there. So, with the techniques you've already learned, you've already been using a little bit of navigation. But now we're making it official. I'm teaching you the mechanics of the situation. Let's talk now, under the topic of astral navigation, let's talk about steering, astral steering. Now this, for me, was a challenge for a while. What I would find is that I would suddenly be in New York, in Manhattan, on a busy street about 2 a.m., and I would be floating backwards just over the heads of everyone. This happened to me all the time. So I would go to sleep around 11 o'clock. And somewhere around 2 a.m., I would find myself astral projecting, and I would be floating backwards over the heads of these busy people, mostly New Yorkers, on the streets of Manhattan. So there are two things that I want to point out about this scenario. Number one, I was astral projecting in my sleep. And this was back when I didn't have much control over my astral projection. So I was just waking up, finding myself astral projecting and wondering how I got there and where exactly I was, having to figure that out. I would find out the time because I could look at the time on people's watches or pretty much anywhere. And so that wasn't really a challenge. But the fact that I was suddenly waking up astral projecting, and I was floating backwards in a place that I hadn't chosen to be, not that I would mind being in Manhattan, but I hadn't chosen it. I hadn't decided consciously ahead of time that I wanted to be there. It's just where my thoughts took me. So some part of me wanted to be there, but it hadn't been planned ahead of time. So there are a number of challenges with this scenario. I've since then controlled all of them. I astral project when I want, where I want, and how I want. But right now we're interested in teaching you how. And if you remember, I would find myself floating backwards. And I was unable in that moment to correct it, or so I thought. What was really going on is I didn't have the tools yet, the educational tools, the experiential tools, to correct my astral body position. Now, if you don't care how you're floating, if you don't mind floating backwards, for example, then by all means do that. But I recommend that you practice controlling your astral body so that you can have more enjoyment. More control means more enjoyment, in my opinion, in the astral world. Let's face it, if you want to go somewhere and you're unable to control where you go, you're not really going to enjoy it. It's going to seem like you're fighting yourself, you're working against yourself, wishing you could move to the right, but moving to the left or not moving at all. So astral navigation, and specifically steering, will come in very, very handy for you. So let's work on it. This is going to require you to do some homework, of course. And if you're able to listen to any of what I'm saying now while you're in your astral body, that's tremendous. So if you want to pause the recording and start it again, get into your astral body, that's fine. If you want to do that during any part of this training program, that's fine. In fact, it's helpful. But it's not necessary. You don't have to do that. You can take what I say and you can practice it later. But either way, let's continue. When you're in your astral body and you want to work on steering, it's important to exercise. Now, you don't have astral muscles that are going to get stronger and stronger with exercise, but you do have abilities that are going to get better and better with exercise. One of the abilities you have is to properly orient your body, to have it face the way you want it to face. I've told you about the Superman / Wonder Woman technique, and you may think, that's great, but if I could only get my astral body to face in that position, it would really come in handy. So let's work on that. I remember my first experience learning how to drive, and I remember my dad and my stepmom had a Volvo station wagon, a red one. It was stick shift. And my dad would take me out every day and teach me how to drive, or quote-unquote teach me how to drive. But what really happened is that he got a little aggravated with the fact that I wasn't very good at working a stick shift at age 16, and he would turn me over to my stepmom, who would be a little more tolerable, but really what I would do is stall out a lot. I didn't really learn to drive a stick shift until I bought my first car at the age of, it was either 18 or 19, my first car. And that was a Nissan Sentra stick shift. I learned how to drive it, finally, on the way to the Department of Motor Vehicles to register the car. So there I am in the car. I've just bought it. I bought it used. Somebody sold it to me from the newspaper. They drove it over to my house. I was a college student at the time at the University of Florida, and they drove it over to my house. I paid for it with some money I had gotten from an inheritance. That's what I spent my inheritance money on, a car. And I learned to drive it the next day on the way to the Department of Motor Vehicles, stalling out the entire way. But guess what? By the time I got there, I knew how to drive the car. When my parents tried to teach me 2 or 3 years before that, I wasn't really that into it. I knew I wasn't going to own a car at any time in the near future. I was in military school, in fact, at home for the summer. We weren't allowed to have cars in military school, so it didn't really matter. I wasn't really invested in it. But then when I got my car, I had to learn how to drive it if I wanted to operate what I had just paid for. I'm happy to say that I was able to learn it very quickly. On the short drive to the DMV, I learned how to do it. In that 20-minute drive, which actually took about 40 because I kept stalling out, I learned how to operate that vehicle. And on the way back, I was fine. Why is that? Because I had a reason to learn. Well, when you astral project and you find yourself floating backwards and you don't want to float backwards, you're going to find you have a reason to learn. And you're going to be able to learn at an accelerated pace because it is to your advantage to know how to properly operate your astral body. Aside from the embarrassment that I felt operating that car and doing it not so well, I also have felt the embarrassment of not being able to operate my astral body well and having people in the astral world watch me. Now, they're not judgmental and they're not laughing at me. The people in the cars weren't laughing either. In fact, they were doing anything but laughing. Quite the opposite. But keep in mind that you have a lot of support in the astral world. People who are astral projecting and who are consciously aware of it are very helpful. to other people who are learning how to astral project. And so if you float backwards and it's obvious that you have no control whatsoever over your astral body, if you ask someone for help or for flying lessons, if you will, they're probably going to assist you. They're probably going to help you. But you can also help yourself. And here's how. I want you to, first of all, if you're having challenges orienting your astral body and controlling it, I want you to start with something very simple. Realize that when your astral body comes out of your physical body, it's probably going to be pretty much aligned with your physical body. Your physical body is lying down flat in most cases. If not, I want you to do that. I want you to make sure the next time you astral project, your physical body is lying down flat. And I want you to just lift your astral body out. Just lift it out flat. So you've started out flat. What happens after that is up to you. Keep focusing on that flatness. You can travel any way you want. Eventually, you can travel as if you're walking around, astral travel, that is. You can travel as if you're lying flat. You can travel in any body position you want. In fact, you can mimic your physical body motions if you want in the astral world, even though you don't have to. What I mean is you can walk across a floor, even though in the astral world, the floor is not really there, and your walking isn't what's propelling you, it's your thoughts. You can still mimic walking across the floor and appear as if you're walking across the floor. It's kind of fun, and it's actually easy for beginners because it feels natural. Remember, a lot of what you're fighting initially is your mind's resistance to the idea of floating, having no gravity, flying, things of that nature. So if you mimic what you do in your three-dimensional life, it's going to be a little easier. But let's get back to our navigation. So you've lifted out of your body and you're flat. Stay flat. Focus on staying flat. This doesn't mean that you overly focus on it, that you think must stay flat, must stay flat, must stay flat. What happens when we do that? When we overly focus, we tend to work against ourselves. We build up anxiety. And yes, in your astral body, you can have anxiety. It's an emotion, and you can have emotions in your astral body. And these emotions, just like in your physical body, can have negative effects. One of the negative effects is causing you to get frustrated and causing you to no longer be flat. So just accept it. That you're going to be flat. It's not an over-focus on it. It's not a denial of it. It's just accepting the fact that you're flat. You rise up, you're flat. Stay that way. Move around the room, flat. If you have any challenges with this, for example, your body starts turning and you don't want it to, go back to your physical body. Reorient yourself to flatness, then leave again. That's the trick. Continue to go back to your physical body to reorient your astral body. Let's talk about traveling in another position. In a seated position. To do this, I want you to find yourself in a physical chair. Your physical body will be in a physical chair. Make sure you won't fall out of it, your physical body, that is. And so now you can orient your astral body to a seated position. So when you rise up, you're in a seated position. Stay in that position. Remember the flying technique where you mimic the actions of being in an airplane in a seated position? This is great for that. You can combine these two. But you start out with your astral body in a seated position because your astral body is perfectly aligned with your physical body until the two are separated. So remain seated, as they say, and continue floating upward in that seated position or floating forward or wherever you want. Now, if you'd like to travel upright, I don't recommend having your physical body in an upright position because that can be a little challenging. In fact, you always want your physical body as stable as possible in case it were to roll or anything else, it would be okay because your physical body may do all sorts of things while you're away. You want to make sure that if you turn, roll, or anything like that, that your physical body will not roll off the bed or off the chair. So standing up is not an option for your physical body. Generally speaking, when you astral project, I feel it's best to be lying in a bed. That way the natural turns of your body are going to be compensated for by the bed. The bed's going to be there. You're just moving about in the bed. Slight movements that you would normally do while lying down, that's okay. So how do we practice traveling upright if it's not an option for our physical bodies to be upright while we astral project? Very easy. You lie flat, you raise your astral body from your physical body, and you rotate it 90 degrees until you're standing, until your astral body is standing. Realize that you're not standing at all because the floor you're on is not solid. However, your mind can make it solid. It's not really going to become solid just because you think it's solid. But what I mean is, psychologically, your brain is programmed to believe that that floor is solid. So use that to your advantage. Allow it to suspend you in the astral world, to hold you up. Realize that up and down don't really exist either. But as long as your mind thinks that they do, thinks the ground is solid, thinks there is an up and down, you're going to be able to orient yourself very easily. So again, lying flat on your back, raise your physical body, rotate it 90 degrees until it's as if you're standing. That's one way to practice standing upright. Another way is to, again, sit in the chair, and this time, rather than lifting your astral body up as if you're still seated, imagine just standing up out of the chair with your astral body. Your astral body gets up and walks around the room. Okay, so once you've mastered that, once you've used those techniques, gotten all of that down, I want you to work on mastering flying and changing position. How do you do this? Well, let's put you a little bit in the future. You've already mastered rising up and floating horizontally, where your body, your astral body, remains parallel with your physical body. You can float all around the world like that. You've mastered standing up out of a seated position and walking, if you will, around. Even though the floor you're on is not solid, your mind can still maintain that image for you, that feeling, that thought, and allow you to have an experience as if you're walking on something solid. You've managed to rise up from the seated position and float anywhere you want, anywhere in the world. These things are nice, but sometimes we want to change positions. Sometimes we float for a little while horizontally, and we like to change to a vertical position on the go. And you will have mastered that as well in the future. So let's bring you forward now in time in our discussion to the point where you've mastered all of that. You can change yourself 90 degrees. You can lift up. You can lift up from a seated position or a lying down position. You can stand up from a seated position. All of this in your astral body. But sometimes you want to change. Sometimes you rise up horizontally and you want to change to a standing position or any other position from any other position. You want to be able to change positions and not just be stuck with that one position during your whole astral journey. The way you master that is by practice. Just practice in your room. Confine yourself to your room with your astral body. Practice standing up. Practice then rotating 90 degrees until you're lying flat, and then rotating 90 degrees until you're standing up. Practice mixing these positions. That way, when you find yourself floating backwards somewhere, you can easily turn yourself around because you've mastered moving your astral body. It's important then to practice these on the go. Rise up above your roof and practice them. Then go somewhere far away. Realize distance doesn't exist in the astral world, but go somewhere that is physically far away, a few thousand miles, for example, and practice those things there. That way you get used to practicing it when you're not in a familiar situation. This gets you better and better at it. Let's talk about landing now. In astral navigation, I believe that landing can be very important. Now, I'm not talking about landing back in your physical body. And if you're ever concerned about whether or not you will synchronize with your physical body or get back into it, don't worry about that. That just happens automatically. All you have to do is think about your physical body and you'll go back to it. That is the easiest thing in astral projection. But I'm talking about while you're having your astral experience, and let's say you're flying somewhere, taking the scenic route, flying slowly or quickly, but flying as opposed to instantly traveling. I want you to be able to land smoothly. Now, if you've seen the movie Hancock, you know how someone can land not smoothly. In the movie Hancock, a fictional movie, of course, Will Smith plays a superhero. And this superhero has a drinking problem. And so he can fly through the air, but when he lands, he usually takes out a lot of cement because he smashes into the ground. He's not very careful. Eventually, he refines his technique, starts flying sober, and everything works out nicely. But this is a great illustration of what many astral travelers experience. Their landings aren't very smooth. They land and go into the earth, for example, and then they have to come back up out of it. Not that they're going to experience the earth necessarily, but they're not where they want to be. Usually they want to go somewhere, and usually you may find yourself experiencing this also. You want to go somewhere where there's something in the physical world that you want to see from the astral world. And so to do this, you're going to have to orient yourself to the physical world. It's not as if you can even land as Hancock landed and smash into the physical earth and break some concrete. Your astral body will not break concrete. Your astral body will just continue going through the earth, and you could very easily come out on the other side of the earth. So proper landing techniques allow you to avoid this, to just get where you want to go. Now, if you teleport, it's probably not an issue. You just think about it, you go, and you're there. But if you're flying, taking the scenic route, as I like to do, and you're landing, it's important to land smoothly. The way you do this, as you may have guessed, is by practicing. I want you to start practicing your landing. Why overlook something if you're having a challenge with it? Just get it right. Just spend a night practicing nothing but landings. Going somewhere, coasting down smoothly, and landing where you want to land. Landing on a building, landing on the ground, landing in a room, wherever you want to land, make sure you're landing precisely. The challenge with this is that physical structures are no longer physical when we're in the astral world, meaning they are still physical in the physical world, but for us in the astral world, they really have nothing that's going to stop us. We can travel through walls, we can travel through floors, we can travel through the earth, we can travel through the sun. It really doesn't matter. Nothing's going to stop us. There's no physical structure in this world that's going to stop someone astral projecting. So it's not as if you can install some sort of stopper for yourself or landing pad, because nothing is going to stop you in the physical world. So what you need to do is get in touch with that part of yourself which acknowledges physical structures. So you have to kind of ignore it as you're leaving your physical body, because you have to travel through walls and through your roof and so forth in order to get out of your home and to have an astral projection experience at all. So you need to ignore physical structures to do that. But then when you land, you need to acknowledge them. If you continue to ignore them, then you're going to go right through the earth or right through whatever it is that you want to land on. So just call upon that psychological part of yourself that still feels that three-dimensional objects are solid even in the astral world. That's going to make that ground solid for you so that you don't go through it. So practice this. Practice letting go of the belief in three-dimensional objects stopping you when you're leaving your house and getting in touch with that again during your landing. That's what works for me. Just reacquainting myself with my normal thoughts of the ground being solid. It's very easy. Before I learned to astral project, the ground was solid for a long time. And then I started astral projecting in my teenage years, and solid structures were no longer solid in the astral world. But for many years of my life, I accepted them as solid all the time. Even in my dreams, I would acknowledge that a door was solid and I had to open the door and walk through it. But really, if you think about it, in your dreams, you don't have to acknowledge anything. You can do whatever you want. In the astral world, I do not encourage you to do whatever you want because you need to be respectful. But you have the ability to do many things that you don't ordinarily have the ability to do in the physical world. So practice landing slowly and evenly. And eventually, you can land quickly. You can land very quickly and still not go through the earth, but initially practice doing it slowly and evenly and carefully. Let's talk about the idea of flying slowly. This can be a challenge. Sometimes in a car, for example, when people are learning to drive, they can give it too much gas or too little gas, and the car can travel erratically. I remember the first time I learned how to drive, I was in high school, and I had actually started going to military school. My parents put me in military school for 10th through 12th grades. And we had a driver's ed program there. And we got to drive a car. We weren't allowed to own a car, but I was allowed to learn how to drive a car. And this wasn't a stick shift. This was a standard car. So I had my parents trying to teach me in the summertime how to drive a stick shift. And I had this probably 3-day class with an attempt to teach me how to drive an automatic. None of it really worked, as I said, until I learned by myself on the way to the DMV. But in driver's ed in high school, for these 3 days or so, I was learning how to drive a car, an automatic. The interesting thing about an automatic car, at least the one I was in, and many of them that I've been in since then, is that if you turn it on and you put it into drive, it will start going, whether or not you're giving it any gas. This was shocking to me. I didn't realize that if you didn't step on the gas, it would go anyway. But it would, very slowly. And then I found out when I stepped on the gas, it made the car accelerate too quickly. Somewhere between the two is where I wanted to be. You may find a similar challenge yourself when learning to astral project. You may find that you're traveling very slowly, but when you think about speeding up, you go too quickly. And sometimes that's okay if you want to go quickly, but sometimes you want to have more control over it. You can fly over trees and so forth, and maybe you see a waterfall that you want to look at more carefully, and you want to just slow down. Well, if you don't have the ability to do that because you don't have control over the speed at which your astral body travels, then you're going to miss out on seeing from the astral world a lot of beautiful physical world structures. So, what I want you to do, of course, is practice. Practice moving slowly, then speeding up, then moving slowly again, and speeding up, then slowing down gradually, and speeding up and stopping completely. Practice those sorts of techniques, because if you do, you're going to find that you're going to get a lot better at it. Now, all of these techniques that I'm telling you to practice, steering, landing, flying slowly, stopping, and so forth, you can just devote one night to each of them. And if you will spend approximately a week, devoting one night to each of these techniques, you're going to learn all of them. You're going to master astral navigation, just like if you were to take the other techniques I've already taught you and devote one night each to them. Well, there are more techniques there, so it might take you 2 weeks, but that's okay. 2 weeks, you've had some fun, you've mastered some techniques, and you've got them down. You know how to do them. These really only take that much practice, because you're going to continue to use them after you learn them. After you've mastered the technique, you're going to keep using it. It's not as if you master a slow, careful landing and then you never use it again. You'll use it probably every night of your life or every day of your life whenever you astral project. But really, these can be learned as quickly as that if you devote an entire night to them. By entire night, I mean a couple hours. A couple hours during which you're astral projecting, or an entire day, meaning a couple hours. Your astral projection time. It's typical for me to astral project for 2 hours at a time. But whatever's typical for you, if you just devote that time to it, one setting, you should be able to master these techniques if you take them one at a time. Start with the hardest one first. As with anything else, start with the most challenging one. Why? Because once you master that, everything becomes easy. It's sort of like your day. If you do the hardest thing first, the thing that you think is going to be a big challenge, get that out of the way, everything seems easy. Everything's a piece of cake after that. Everything just flows after that. So whatever it is about astral projection, that's the most daunting thing to you. Tackle that first. Everything else is going to become very easy for you. Okay, so let's talk about turning now. We talked a little bit about it, but I want you to become really good at it. Turning is something that we take for granted in our physical world. We turn our heads, we turn around, we can spin around and around, we can do all sorts of things. But when it comes time for astral projection, these things can be a challenge. If you want to turn your astral body around 180 degrees, you're facing one way, there's something behind you, and you want to turn around so you're facing the opposite way, this can be a challenge when you first start out. I remember not being able to turn at all, or at least I didn't think I could. I was facing one way, I wanted to turn around, but I didn't know how. It's really just a matter of thinking, just like anything else with astral projection. It's a matter of thinking yourself through it. As you think, so you are. In the astral world, that's everything. In the physical world, that's true too. If you think you're a doctor, you're going to become a doctor. If you think you're an astronaut, you're going to become an astronaut. Whatever you think and keep focusing on, you are. Eventually, in the astral world, you are that immediately. It's a wonderful way to exemplify this aspect of life, that whatever we focus on, we get. And I encourage you, by the way, to focus on positive things in your life, to keep moving forward toward them, and to put those negative thoughts behind you, because whatever you focus on, you will eventually get. So keep focusing on wonderful, positive, powerful things for yourself. In the astral world, focus on how you want to orient yourself. If you want to turn around, focus on that and practice it. Spend a night practicing turns, turning around, turning to your left, turning to your right, looking up, looking down, turning mainly so that you can see what's going on. Now, one thing I developed early on is the ability to see completely around me. In fact, I never had to work on this at all. As soon as I raised my astral head out of my physical body, I was able to see 360 degrees around me in all directions. It reminded me of when I was a child growing up in Florida and my parents took me to Disney World and they had something in there which was 360 degrees. It was a movie that showed all around you. Well, it was like that in astral projection, except I was also able to see above me, below me, and completely around me. And I started calling this astral vision because that's something that I didn't have the ability to do in my physical body because my physical eyes are limited to looking in one direction and seeing peripherally. But pretty much you're looking ahead of you and a little bit to the sides. But with astral vision, you can see everywhere, all around, up and down, all over. So for me, this was easy. This may be something that you have to work on. The easiest way to do it, if you're not able to see all around, is to imagine that your astral eyes are limited like your physical eyes, and just turn your astral head in the direction you want to look. This is the easiest way for you to process the information, for you to think that you're limited to looking in a certain direction, even though you're not. Once you get good at that, I want you to work on astral vision. I want you to work on being able to see in every direction and up and down all around you at all times. But initially, the important thing is that if you want to look behind you, you're able to do that. The easiest way to do that is just imagine that you're turning your head, your physical head, even though it's your astral head, and imagine that where you're facing is where you're able to see. So as you're imagining turning your astral head, you actually are turning your astral head, even though you realize it's not necessary to do that. But if this little trick of a technique works for you, then use it, because you're able to turn your astral head and allow yourself to see behind you. Realize it's not necessary. You just think it's necessary because you are limiting yourself to what your physical body can do. And in your physical body, unless you have a mirror, you've got to turn your head. Your astral body, you really don't. But for right now, go ahead and do it if that helps you see behind you. And then eventually work on this 360-degree vision. And the way you work on that is just by focusing on it, by focusing on allowing yourself to let go of your physical limitations and to see all the way around you. Just by sitting there in your astral body at the edge of your bed and focusing on seeing everything in your room without moving your astral head at all. So let's recap some of the things that you have learned in astral navigation, just to make sure you have them down. First of all, you learned about allowing your thoughts to let you drift like a feather. You can float around if you want. That's one way of astral projecting, which is fine. It takes off all the pressure, allows you to float around, allows you to see everything, allows you just to drift wherever your thoughts take you. But we also talked about the idea that sometimes you want to have more control. So we talked about the idea of orienting yourself in the astral world. How do you figure out where you are? Remember, you can shoot up to 20,000 feet approximately. I don't expect you to measure that. Look around, triangulate, figure out where you are, and then you'll be able to come back down with the comfort of knowing where you are. Or you can look at an address. You can look at cross streets and an address. And once you get back to your physical body, you can look that up online, figure out where you were. You also realize that you can use the familiar techniques, the familiar sight, the familiar sound, the familiar feeling, both physical feelings and emotional feelings, to log in where you are, log it into your navigation, and then take you back there, so that you can return to where you were. I also talked about landing slowly and evenly. It's okay if you want to land like Hancock in the movie, the drunken superhero, and just land in a rather sloppy way. If you want to do that, and if you're okay with that, that's fine. But if you want to work on precision and being efficient in the astral world, which is one of the things that I'm very interested in, then I suggest you devote a night or a day, a couple hours that is, your astral projection time, to landing slowly and evenly. We also talked about flying slowly and practicing doing that. You can learn to fly slowly and then quickly and then to stop. Learn all of those things just by practicing them. We also talked about the orientation of your body, upright, flat, seated, changing them, walking. Talked about all of that and how you can master them. So I suggest you devote some practice to that. We talked about turning, how you can turn, and the idea that eventually it's really not necessary to turn. Or maybe you, like myself, have astral vision immediately. I never worked on it. It was just something that happened for me. Some of us are able to run faster than others naturally. Some of us are able to have astral vision naturally, whereas others aren't. Realize that the idea of are and aren't in the astral world really don't exist, because you're able to do anything that I'm able to do, and I'm able to do anything you're able to do. It's just a matter of believing it. Once you believe it, you're over it. You've mastered it. So allow yourself to open your mind to the ability to see all around you. But for now, if it helps, you can turn your astral head to look behind you or to the left or to the right. It's important to practice those things, because whatever the case, you need to get up and running so that you're able to see around you. And eventually you can practice having astral vision, seeing all around you. So these are the techniques that I want you to understand, that I want you to master, that I want you to be fluent with. I want you to be able to use all of them. Because in the world of astral travel, astral navigation, in my opinion, is essential. You want to be able to go where you want to go. And you don't want to be at the mercy, like I was, of waking up, finding yourself floating backwards, wishing you could change yourself so you weren't floating backwards, and not knowing how to do it. Even if you do wake up astral projecting, you want to be able to control your astral body, because this reduces stress and allows you to have a much more efficient astral journey and much more pleasurable. So remember the raft in the pool. It's nice to float on a raft, be blown around by the breeze and the water jets and so forth, but sometimes you want to go to a specific part of the pool. You don't want to be at the mercy of the elements and where they decide to move you. You want to be able to control where you go. So in a pool, it's a matter of putting your arms in the water and paddling. In the astral world, it's a matter of learning navigation, learning steering, learning how to land, learning how to fly, how to turn, how to orient your body. It's a matter of all of those things. So I encourage you to learn these things, practice them, make them part of you, make them part of your routine for however long it takes. Probably just one night or one day of each will be fine. And then you will continue to work on them as part of your natural experience in the astral world. But I encourage you to learn them because that's going to allow you to have more fun while you astral project. It's also going to allow you to have a good, basic, good feeling about the whole experience. When we're in control, we just feel better. So enjoy astral navigation. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have outstanding astral adventures.